Our next storyteller is Carsonia Whitehead. She goes by Kay, and she's an associate professor of communication in African and African American studies at Loyola University of Maryland, an award-winning writer and the author of a book, Letters to My Black Sons. She is another person that that I got to just be nosy, but in a sanctioned way about. She has been writing some editorials in The Sun, and I read them with great interest after the events of last spring and the uprising and the protests, and reached out to her, and I'm so glad she can be here with us tonight. So please welcome Kay.
So I consider myself to be a black mommy activist, and I have a lot of titles that I go by, and this is the one that is the most favorite of mine, because this is the one I gave myself. 14 years ago, when I realized and I had that moment where I noticed that my body was changing, that I looked in the mirror and said, I think I'm pregnant. And I just could not believe it, because I am someone who doesn't believe in having kids. I didn't want kids. And yet somebody had chosen me to be their mother. And so in that instance, I chose to be a black mommy activist. I said, if I'm going to have children, then I'm going to raise them as black warrior scholars. I had this idea of a perfect blend of the activism of Malcolm X and Assata Shakur, blended with like the wisdom of Dr. King and Mary McLeod Bethune. So when they were younger, we would have mock protest meetings in the basement. And I was planning for the takeover. We would do sit-in movements in the backyard. And so instead of learning nursery rhymes, we would do freedom songs. 1, 2, 3, freedom for me. 1, 2, 3, 4, freedom for me too, mommy. I'm like, yes, you're being trained to be an activist. Now, I didn't know what I was training them for. I just knew that I wanted them to be ready when freedom came. Because I know that the history of black folks in this country ain't been no crystal stair. And growing up as black boys in America, they needed to be ready to defend themselves against any stereotypes that anybody wrote about them. So I knew early on when I said, we're not going to have a TV in the household. Get rid of the TV, because we're doing something even more exciting. We're getting library cards. I said, there's something amazing about the library. And they got on board because they were young. They said, oh, there's something at the library. There's something at the library. Trust me when I tell you. You have to go there. They're going to talk about ER. They're going to talk about television. But you've got a library card. And not everybody has that. So growing them up and watching them take this on, I knew we wanted to make a stand somewhere. Now, my sons have been following the Black Lives Matter movement, and for me, that was my whole life summed up in three words. Because I had grown up as a daughter of a civil rights activist, and my dad had spoon-fed me stories of activism along with his peas and corn. So for me, it would be like, oh, Daddy, please, tell me about the time you got arrested. And oh, Daddy, please, what about the time you met Dr. King? So Black Lives Matter meant something to me. And for me, it was more than just a slogan. It was a way of life. It was 400 years of history bookended by pain and hurt. It was a way I wanted to raise my boys. And they kept saying, Mommy, we've got to do something about this. But I didn't know what. They put a poster in their room, and they begin to add names and dates up on the poster. So Trayvon Martin, they put up. And then John Crawford. And then Rekia Boyd. Ayanna Jones. Ezell Ford, Tamir Rice, and when they put up Freddie Gray, they said, Mommy, we've got to do something. So we started marching. We went over to Freddie Gray's neighborhood or down to City Hall. We marched every single day after school. And for them, it was that time when all of a sudden those protests marched at the age of 4 connected to marching through Baltimore. And the times when I would have them make protest posters, it was similar to chanting justice for Freddie Gray. That all of a sudden, every single story I had taught them became real to them. Now, we had some missteps along the way. Like the time when they wanted to take selfies with the National Guard. I'm like, I don't think you can do that. I understand why, but I don't think now was the best time for a selfie with the National Guard. Or when they said, Mommy, we're going to go march with the Black Israelites. We love those purple shirts. I'm like, you know, maybe not that at this moment, or when they would call me in the middle of the day, we're stomping out of math class because we're not talking about Freddie Gray. I'm like, you still need algebra. So if you stay there, we can deal with the movement at the end of the day. So they had some missteps, but they begin to figure it out. And that was an amazing process for me, the beginning of their activism. And so when the dust settled, I asked them, I said, you know, what did you learn? Like, what stuck? And they said, Mommy, we learned three things. The first is that old story you told us about knowing when to jump and when to walk away. Like, we got that. This is a story I told them because I was traveling through Kenya. And I had this really wonderful idea. I was young and stupid. I have to be clear and transparent. I said, I'm going to go down to Zambia, and I'm going to bungee jump over the Zambezi River. My parents weren't there. There was nobody to stop me. So I went down to the bridge. I'm standing there, and the guide says, don't worry. It's only a 111-foot fall. Your face is going to lightly kiss the water. You're going to hang there, and then we're going to come and pick you up. I'm like, that just sounds absolutely insane. So I'm in the bungee jumping equipment. And I'm looking down going, oh, my word, I'm afraid of heights. And this is stupid. I was like, well, I'm scared and stupid at the same time. But I couldn't get down because all around me, everyone's yelling, jump, jump, jump. Why don't you? You're taking up the line. Just jump. So I jumped. And when they cut me down, the guy goes, oh, that was what a ride for you. How was it? I was like, I'm so stupid because I didn't want to jump, and I did. And so I told my boys, there are going to be times in your life when people are going to want you to jump. You've got to know when to jump and when to walk away. They said, nobody understands why we're marching for Freddie Gray, Mommy. Our classmates don't understand. The teachers don't get it. But we're jumping because this is something we feel we have to do. The second thing they said they learned, we learned how you always said, God bless you, and what that meant. Now, that's an old story in our family because when my youngest son was 4 years old, he was playing upstairs in his room, because children do. You hide him away so you can have some quiet time. And so he sneezes, and all of a sudden he yells out, God bless you, Amir. So I bring him downstairs, and I say, Amir, you were by yourself. Why did you say God bless you? I mean, he's 4 years old. He said, Mommy, sometimes when you're by yourself, you got to bless yourself. I said, you do. You do. That was absolutely profound to me. Because sometimes when you're by yourself, you got to bless yourself. I'm telling you, I put that up on my wall. I got a bumper sticker with it made. I'm like, you know what? God bless you, Kay. Like, you're going to be okay. These kids will not drive you crazy. God bless you. But we took that in our family. And so we were going up to the Freddie Gray March. I would hear the boys going, God bless you, Kofi. God bless you, Amir. Getting ready for it. And then they started adding other names. God bless you, Tamir Rice. Your name will not be forgotten. And God bless you, Rakia Boyd. We know you're struggling. God bless you, Freddie Gray. Your death won't be in vain. So you got to know how to bless yourself and when to bless others. And finally they said, Mommy, we realize you were right. The world does not revolve around you. I'm like, it doesn't, even though I like to think it does. I do. I told them earlier on, I really do believe the world revolved around me and everyone else was just too stupid to figure it out. And they were like, no, Mommy, we realize that the world actually revolves around the sun. I'm like, yes, but you don't have to be the sun to shine. Like, you can change the world right where you are. What I learned through that is kind of what Khalil Gibran in that poem on children, when he wrote that your children are not your children. They are the sons and the daughters of life's longing for itself. I realized that I was a reluctant mommy, and I complained about giving up everything for my boys. And here it is, after watching them struggle and grow and protest and march, I found myself exactly where I wanted to be. A Black mommy activist watching my warrior scholars getting ready to change the world. Thank you.